بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، these nights that Allah Ta'ala has given us and these days are for ibadat, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes different forms. And if we have to study the ibadat that Allah ta'ala has given us, it's unique. There isn't any other religion that have been able to come anywhere near. Of course, these are man-made, so where can they ever come near what the Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us, has given us, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. You know, anything, if a person does continuously in one particular fashion, one way, one system, then there comes a time, either within that action or after a little while, over repetition of that same action, the person gets tired and bored. And when we look into the ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us, and we just take one such action, one such ibadat, and that is one of the most important pillars after bringing faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the risalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is of salah. Now look at the formation of salah, how salah is formed. It's got different postures. It is not that the person, if the salah is going to be taking 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it's not that you're standing continuously for 5 minutes in one position, in one posture, and salah is over. In salah, look at the creation of Allah Ta'ala. This entire world, had Allah Ta'ala world, could have been just created flat if Allah Ta'ala had wanted. And if Allah Ta'ala had so desired, the whole world, the entire world, the earth, could have been created mountainous. But this is the beauty of the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed mountains. Some places Allah ta'ala has created hills. Some places it is valleys. Some places miles of, and you will see flat land. This is the creation of Allah ta'ala. You go different places, you just admire the beauty of the creation of Allah ta'ala, that how Allah ta'ala, like Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majeed about the mountains, that how Allah Ta'ala has made them pigs. And then you look at within the structure that Allah Ta'ala has made, Allah Ta'ala has got the streams and the rivers and the water, the streams that flow below, beneath the earth, which generally means of boreholes, and so we bring that water. This is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. You know, this is if you look at the Qur'an Majeed also, you know, and if you look at the recitation of the Qur'an Majeed, you'll find some places there's muds, some places there's hunnas, some places you don't make hunnas. Now imagine if every word had a hunna, and if every word had a mud. The beauty of the Qur'an Majeed. I mean, this is in our extremely limited, comprehension and minds. Just one, two things come to mind. You know, what beauty there must be in the Qur'an-i-Majeed, which we do not even know. Now, just as because we are a little acquainted with the Quran and Majeed, and we understand a little bit of Tajweed, we have read by our Asatida, they've taught us a little bit with this, you know, here you must make mud, and here you mustn't make mud, and here you must make ghunna, and here you mustn't make ghunna. Fair enough, that we learned. But now, understanding this way, that imagine at that time if you said that, what would be the difference? You made ghunna everywhere. Make ghunna everywhere, don't make ghunna. Or make mud everywhere, or don't make mud. But look at it from the beauty point of view. Some places you are making mud, something now. When a good qadi of the Quran and Majid is reciting, and when they comes to places where you need to make mud, look at the beauty, you know, how beautiful it sounds. Those muazzins of, you know, sometimes the Haramain Sharifin, and especially of Madina Sharif, sometimes when they're giving the adhan, of course, where there's places to make mud, when they give that adhan, and then in that environment, you're just going to a different world sometimes. You know, when you just hear that, this is the beauty, the Quran and Majid Allah Ta'ala has made it such. One is just, of course, the Quran and Majid said every letter there's beauty, but now if you just look at it, just think of it from this point of view. That if everything was just one, it would have just been like flat. Allah Ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, Allah Ta'ala made it. Now, the person who appreciates this, who can see this, will enjoy the Quran and Majid. Now, just as we mentioned this afternoon as well, maybe last night, that the person who was putting his head down on the ground for sajda, and he recognizes in it that this is such an action of ibadah that is exclusive for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's a different type of feeling that he will experience when his head and his forehead touches the ground. Similarly, when we look at coming to salah, we'll find that in salah, there's qiyam. In salah, there's ruku'. In salah, there's qoma. One is a long standing, where you're reading your Surah Fatiha, you're reading your Surah. Then after ruku, you're coming up, but you're just standing for a few moments. Then you're going into sajda. That's a different posture again. The postures in salah also, it is not just that one, you're standing in one position from the beginning of that action to the end for you to become bored. Allah Ta'ala has kept different postures in salah. And then look at the beauty that in Qiyam, you're reciting Quran and Majid. In Qiyam, you're reciting Quran and Majid. Now, if things were according to my mind, this is the hukum and the order of Allah Ta'ala, this tartib. From amongst the postures of salah, the one where the person is closest to Allah Ta'ala is in sajda. And that is the height of the humility when the person is in sajda. So if it was according to my mind, I would have said, recite Quran and Majid in sajda. Allah Ta'ala's hukum, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hukum and order, recite your Surah Fatiha, praises to Allah Ta'ala, recite the Quran and Majid, recite your surah, everything in the qiyam position. Now we are subject to the order and to the hukum of Allah Ta'ala as shown to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there we will not make our minds work. Now when a person is going into ruku, and he says, no, ruku is, you bowing before Allah Ta'ala. Why shouldn't I read one ruku of the Quran and Majid in ruku? Why here you can't do that? In ruku now, you'll have to change. There it was Quran and Majid, and you will have to read the Quran and Majid. If you did not read Surah Fatiha, if you did not add some ayat to that, then you'll have to make sajda as sahwa. It's an error. And when you come to ruku, it changes now. It's one ibadat. But now, it is something new again. And what's in ruku? Are you making tasbih of Allah Ta'ala? Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana, you're glorifying Allah Ta'ala. Now from there, you're coming back to the qoma position. And after glorifying Allah Ta'ala, now the next hukum is Now you praise Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma Rabbana. Now look at the different types of ibadat and the different types of things you're doing within one action. Now, where is the place for becoming bored? Because, and generally the human being is said that if he does something continuously, then he becomes tired. So in just the postures, one is the postures itself are different. It is qiyam, it is ruku, it is qawma, then it is sajda, and then it is jalsa, and then it is qada. Jalsa is where you're just sitting between the two. Sajda is just sitting for a short period of time, and then you're making the second sajda. And qada is when you're sitting at the end of the two rakats or at the end of four rakats. So now that is, these are just the postures. Then from a recitation point of view, you're making tilawat of the Quran and Majid whilst you are standing. Then you are making tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, you're glorifying Allah Ta'ala when you're going into ruku. And then when you're getting up from ruku, you're praising Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then when going into sajda, again you're glorifying Allah Ta'ala. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And then at the end when you're sitting, when one is sitting in tashahud, then you're praising Allah Ta'ala, you're making, sending salat and salam upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and concluding with a dua and then salam. These are the different things in just one ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So in the different actions that, and in the different ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, whether it is that of salah, whether it is that of hajj, whether it is that of umrah, we find that in all this there isn't any place for the person to become bored. This is the beauty in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tawfiq. Allah ta'ala has made it possible for us to perform our salahul jama'ah, to perform the tarawih. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to protect these a'mal. Now on this, there's something that just discuss quickly, and that is that it is something that we all know very well, that to construct something, a building, for instance, a person wants to build a house. Now before the actual building, of course, if it is in a built up area, then whatever the legal requirements are of putting a plan, and if there's an engineer's plan that is needed, then the engineer's plan and whatever else, and then after that you find if the earth needs to, if the ground needs to be leveled, that will be done, then the digging of the trenches for the foundation and the putting of the foundation, and then eventually the building itself comes up over a period of time. This is building, that it takes time. The higher, the taller the building, the more the time it will take, and the more the cost. So in building something, in constructing something, there's a lot of time that goes, that is taken. But demolishing, how long it takes? They bring, big, huge, massive buildings down, they implode them, not explode. When they put that dynamite or everything, that thing comes, it doesn't explode, it implodes. So look at that Twin Towers. How long it must have taken to build it? But demolishing that doesn't take time. What lesson do we learn from this? Building ourselves up, our a'mal, our actions, it takes time. Reputation, izzat, respect, these things take time. Person slowly starts, gets his amal right, his actions right, and he builds up. These, to get our salah right, to get our ibadat right, our connection, our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right, it takes time to make our islah and our spiritual reformation and rectification. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a period of time, depending on the types of evils or weaknesses that one is experiencing. And as far as that is concerned, one has to acknowledge first that he is sick, and then he will go to the... If a person doesn't acknowledge that he's sick, he doesn't accept that I'm unwell, I'm sick, why would he go to the doctor? So if I realize that I have got spiritual weaknesses, if I've got spiritual illnesses, then I will go and seek some remedy for it. But if I cannot acknowledge that, then where am I going to go and seek a remedy for these things? So however, even the islah process, a person is sick, he takes medication, it takes time to recover. So the spiritual treatment, that also is time consuming. After a period of time, that is why, you know, in the Quran and Majid, where it is mentioned that spend time with the, in the company of the pious. So the question that is asked, that how long should you stay, and how much of time should be spent with the Ahlullah, should be spent with those that have recognition of Allah Ta'ala, that have the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, that spend their lives in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, and that any action that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, if it is committed by them, then they feel so restless at how was this possible, how did I do this? They cry over it. Now for them, even the missing of a takbir-e-ula is like a great sin. How did, that is their level. So these are those people. How long do you stay with them? When we are told to go and stay with them, you say, خَالِتُوهُمْ لِتَكُونُوا مِثْلَهُمْ. Stay with them to that extent that you become like them. Now, whether that means 1 month, depending on the individual's capacity and what Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. Everyone's capacity is not the same. Everyone's ability is not the same. Sometimes some in a short period of time Allah Ta'ala blesses them. Some people, they came, they stayed with the mashayikh, and within a short period of time they were blessed with khilafat and they were gone. And those that were there before them, they began thinking that, listen, this person just came and within a short period of time he's got khilafat and he's gone. So sometimes they look at it, you know, with eyes of objection, that how come? But this person was already made, he had that ability in him beforehand. So when he came, and those abilities were there, and whatever was needed in order for him to be given that permission and that ijazat, that was found, that ijazat was given. But if a person is not concerned about his islah and is not taking it seriously, then what's going to happen? He can remain for years. That is why on one occasion, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, we referred to this incident yesterday, where Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali wrote to Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, regarding Zikrullah and all that. In the reply that Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, amongst other things, one was the reply to this particular aspect of Zikrullah. There were two other things that Mufti Sahib wrote. One, he wrote about his health, and that he had undergone a bypass or some heart related. So there was that first operation, and then there was a second one also that he underwent. However, that was one aspect that he spoke about. And it is not just to mention, it wasn't just for the sake of mentioning it, but there was something in it. Hazrat actually mentioned it because he said that there was something that he wanted to share with Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali with regards, you know, the condition that he experienced after the first operation and the condition that he experienced after the second operation. So it wasn't just to inform that, listen, I'm sick, I'm not well, I've undergone an operation. Sometimes some people, you know, they have like self-pity. You know, so I'll tell everyone so that, you know, I can be sympathized with. So it wasn't for that type of... So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali wrote to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. He said, well, after the first bypass that I had, my condition was this, that whenever, because Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was running an institute, a very famous madrasa and a big madrasa. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions that after my first operation, my condition was this, that whenever I wanted to do something, whenever I wanted to put something right in the madrasa, or I felt that something needs to be done, and something needed to be started afresh, something new. He says that I almost want to start, and then this thought came to mind that, but if you're going to start as it is, you're in this condition, you may not be able to accomplish this. You'll give it up. It won't be completed. So therefore, leave it. Don't do it. So he says, this was my condition after the first op. And he says, the condition after the second operation is this, that I have decided now that if anything like this comes to my mind that I must do, I need to implement something. He said, I do it, and I explain to myself that, listen, whether you can accomplish this task or not, whether you can complete it or not, you don't worry about that. You start it. After that, whoever is responsible, they will complete the task. They will see you. They will see what you have did, and if it is something good, and those that you are leaving behind, if they are good people, if they are well nurtured, then they will continue your work. So he wrote this to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, and Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh complimented him on that and said, yes, that is how it's supposed to be. That not worry about the accomplishment of the task. Now, sometimes what happens, we worry about the accomplishment of the task and we think, no, it is too difficult, and you don't take the first step. Now, sometimes when you see you need to travel a distance, say you're traveling from Zindo to Johannesburg, from Zindo to Cape Town, the most difficult part of it is to get onto the road. Why are you thinking, you know, you've got a 10-hour journey, you've got an 8-hour journey. When you think of that, you sometimes, the himmat and the courage, you lose the courage. But what you do, the moment you get onto that road, and after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you find you're already on the road, you're comfortable, and now you are moving. So that initial, take that first step. After that, leave it to Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala wills, the task would be accomplished. If Allah Ta'ala doesn't will, there are so many authors in our tafsirs and other things that they started the tafsir of the Quran Majid. There's one tafsir by Ma'arif al-Quran of Mullah Aziz al-Kandali Rahmatullah Ali. He came up to 20th, he was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. He came up to the 26th barah and he passed away. Then after that, his son, he completed, Muhammad Malik Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he completed the tafsir which his father had started. But now see, if he would have sat and thought that, listen, would I be able to complete this? I don't know whether life will be sufficient for me or not. He wouldn't even have started this. Just start the work. Now, as long as that tafsir is there, whoever benefits from it, it will all be to his credit. And it is whatever good action, whatever good amal that we need to do, start it. After that, Allah Ta'ala, say for instance, a person, just when there's a desire Allah Ta'ala puts in his heart that he must start a madrasa or some good work. Now, whether that is going to, you know, whether it will materialize, whether, you know, I will be able to see this task through, whether it will be accomplished, or, you do whatever. That is why I think it was Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned this incident. He said, someone from amongst our pious, when it came to niyat and intention, he said, I made a niyat to establish so many, you know, hundreds of makatib. So, hundreds, thousands, whatever it was, thousand makatib. So someone named Hazrat, you know, how are you going to do this, you know, establishing so many makatib? He said, it doesn't cost me anything to make the niyat. Making the niyat after that, if Allah Ta'ala gives a barakah to one, Allah Ta'ala may be, and if life does the niyat, you will get your sawab for it, you will get your reward for it. So however, this is one thing we learn. And this is the, you know, the beauty in our akabir, you know, that whatever there was, whatever they experienced. Now imagine Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, okay, he was a senior. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was not a junior person, a senior person. And he is writing this to Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali. However, that was one aspect Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali wrote. The second part which we want to discuss, and that is Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali wrote to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. He said, my two sons have just completed their studies. Say, Abi Farighwe. Farighwe means they just completed the Alim's course. That's referring to Mufti Taqi Sahib and Mufti Rafi Sahib, Dawad Barakatuhum, that they have just completed their studies And who was Mufti Shafi Sahib? Mufti Shafi Sahib was the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali, a great alim, a grand Mufti of Pakistan. Okay, he's a grand Mufti. So he mentions that I sent my two sons to Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who's not an alim, right? Not an alim in the sense that you would know an alim. He said, I've sent my two sons to him for spiritual reformation, for Islam purposes. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is mentioning to, he's writing this to Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali, that I've sent them there for the Islam purposes. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gets this letter. Now, from this we can understand the importance of Islah, the importance of spiritual reformation. Now imagine people of this, where it is a dini environment, this ilm and knowledge, and they themselves come from a pious background, pious family, a pious father, pious children, you know, that type of an environment, but yet he's got this concern, and where he himself has the ability to make the tarbiyat of his sons who have just qualified. I mean, a father of that caliber. So, but he said that, no, listen, I won't be able to do this, to accomplish this task, so I sent them to Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Also from this, what I, you know, comes to mind is that there was no jealousy in the hearts. Dr. Abdul Hai Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, also the Khalifa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Now this, you know, their hearts were clear. Now today for me to send my customer to another, you've got two businesses, now you're sending your customer somewhere else, who will do that? To go get the same thing. You won't say, no, listen, if you can get it here, why go somewhere else? Now, here there wasn't anything of this nature that, listen, go make your Islah there. However, this letter reached Hazrat Shaykh, Shaykhul Hadith Rahmatullah Ali. Part of it that was related to the zikr aspect. The second part was as far as his health was concerned, and those that incident with regards to the two operations, the two bypasses, whatever it was. And when it came regarding this, the two sons of his, so the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one word. He said, need to be careful that they don't have the, you know, the weakness of Sahib Zadagan. Sahib Zadagan means that we are the sons of someone. We are the sons of the Grand Mufti of Pakistan. You see, be on your guard against them. Now, look at their hearts, how clear Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali is giving this advice to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, and so open, not hiding anything. Or not, sometimes, you know, this munafaqat within our hearts, you know, this hypocrisy will show a person outwardly that, listen, you know, I'm your friend. But inside I have got hatred for him, I have got jealousy, I have got everything else. I want to cause him harm. There was that Mufti, one great alim, Deoband, Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Ali. So there was the great alim of Deoband and the Shaykhul Hadith, who was the Khalifa of Hazrat Gangui Rahmatullah Ali and the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali. So the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, of course, he was politically involved as well. So he was jailed in the Malta prison. It's a long story. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Ali was also there with him. He went as a student, he used to be a khidmat of his ustad in the prison, whatever. However, when Hazrat Madani, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali was released from Malta prison, he came to Deoband. That is where he was a Shaykhul Hadith. He came to Deoband and they had a jalsa in his honor, you know, welcoming him back home. Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Ali was an orator, a very good speaker he was. So in this jalsa, he was also, the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah Ali was not his ustad. However, Hazrat Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Ali was given the task of, you know, presenting something as well. So Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani Rahmatullah Ali, when he got up and when he started his bayan, he said, "Listen, I am not going to be flattery in my talk. Whatever I have in my heart, that is what I will say. Whatever, one is to praise a person, oh, he's like this, he's like that, and inside I've got something else." He said, "I will say that which I've got in my heart. I will not just say anything to praise this person or to make anyone else happy or to make the madrasa happy or just that because it's a big arranged jalsa and whatever and it's an occasion of this nature, so I will be, you know, putting things out of proportion as far as praising the person is concerned. It is not going to be like that. Whatever I have in my heart, that is what." This is what we learned from the Akabir, that their hearts were clear. When they needed to say something, they said, they did not say something and have something else in their hearts. That outwardly they showed that, you know, they were very close or they respected it. But within their hearts, I'm like, as I say, they've got daggers for one another. This type of munafaqat and this type of hypocrisy, whether it is with our friends, sometimes you will find that on the musalla, you know, we use this as a place to, you know, give vent to our grudges. The person is on the musalla and he's a hafiz and I am behind. Just wait to rectify him, to correct him. Why, I've got some grudge against him, I won't let him go. You know, so these types of, so there's, you know, there's many things of this nature that we can speak about. But however, keeping the heart clean, keeping the heart, we don't keep malice and hatred and jealousy for anyone. Make an attempt. Listen, we are not 100%. We all have a weakness and each one has his own weakness. But this particular aspect and this particular weakness, this is what we say, that, you know, we need to acknowledge our weaknesses. We need to know what weakness we have got. And then you can, you know, rectify those, find prescriptions for those weaknesses and rectify those. So however, the Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali by letter, he says that there must not be this quality of Sahib Zadagan in them. They mustn't feel that, you know, we are the sons of somebody. And he mentioned, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written openly, he said, make sure that they respect him. He said, otherwise they will not get anything. So this is, you know, our Kabir, we were speaking about something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. As far as our a'mal are concerned, we were mentioning as staying with the pious, that how long should one stay with the pious? How long should one stay with those and accompany those and stay in the company of those and associate with those who have the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala? خَالِتُوهُمْ لِتَكُونُوا مِسْلَهُمْ. Stay with them until such time. But sometimes it is not possible for us to stay continuously like some of our Akabir did 10 years, 15 years, continuously they stayed with their mashayikh in the khidmat and then see what Allah Ta'ala blessed them with. One example is that of Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, of what period of time he stayed with his shaykh, and then see what Allah Ta'ala blessed them with, what type of ulum Allah Ta'ala blessed them with, what type of understanding of deen, what type of taqwa Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blessed them. That is because of that extended stay with the Shaykh and with the Wali of Allah Ta'ala, that you eventually become like them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that by associating and by keeping in company of these types of people, Allah Ta'ala gives us that courage, Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability then to fight them. We're talking of you know, in movement, everything needs you know, energy to move. So if it's a vehicle, it needs energy. The energy that a vehicle needs is it will use fuel, it will burn fuel. Similarly, if you want to cook something, you need some energy there. That energy is either electricity or it will be the form of fire, or it will be the form of gas, whatever, there's some energy that is needed in order for that food to get cooked. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh gives a beautiful example. He says, take a pot of biryani, you know, the dates we prepare at the time of Walima and others. He says, take the best of masalas and put it inside, the best of meat, super lamb, whatever you can get, put it inside, everything, and put saffron and everything inside, and leave that deg. And after 3 hours, take everything out from there and start giving people to eat. Will anyone eat that? It's not cooked. It's not. You left everything inside for 3 or 4 hours. And after 4 hours, you are dishing out, it's raw. That same food, what is in the deg, you put fire there below that, and for 2 hours you cook it. Within that 2 hours it is cooked. Now you open that, there's that aroma. So that fire at the bottom, you needed that fire. You need that to burn. Now we need to understand this, that sometimes we become excited when we think of the evil desires that they are there in the heart. You know, I've got this type of evil desire and that type of evil desire. You know, sometimes we out and we become very disturbed and perturbed with all these types of things. So Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh explains that, see, do not get disturbed, because just as you need that fuel and that fire for the biryani to cook, then only after that it's got that beautiful aroma and you're enjoying it and everyone is enjoying it. Okay. So it is similarly for taqwa, there's also fuel for taqwa. There's also fuel for taqwa. Just as a plane needs to take off, it can't take off without fuel. And that fuel is not just there in its in the tank, so it's burnt. Although we don't see the burning process, but that is why, you know, like in our cars, what we have the spark plugs and all that, you know, there's sometimes there's a burning process, right? And after the thing burns, then you get the energy to move. So similarly, in a flight also, an aircraft that is taking off, it needs the fuel, but it's not the fuel, doesn't just say it is burnt. That is why you have to refuel. If the fuel was just in the tank, if that was sufficient, then it would have just continued as well. But you have to stop to refuel. So which means that that fuel is being used. And how it is being used? It is being burnt. And that creates the energy for that to move forward. So similarly, for a person to get taqwa, there's need for some type of fuel. What is the fuel for taqwa? So as the Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah beautifully explains, that the fuel for taqwa is the burning of the evil desires. The evil desires that come in the heart, the person goes against that. The moment goes against that, that becomes the fuel for taqwa, the person is moving forward. So every time you're going against the nafs, against the egos, against the desires, it's coming strongly, there's a beautiful woman that is going past. Now the gaze wants to, but no, this is the hukum of Allah Ta'ala, that I must lower my gaze. I must lower my gaze. You know, it takes some energy and it takes some strength in the person, you know, to lower his gaze. Or the person is in any type of position where he is confronted with a sin, where he can commit that sin very easily. But now at that time he restrains himself. He is restraining himself. So there is some difficulty that he is taking on the nafs. Now when he's taking this difficulty on the nafs, that is what will give him the taqwa. That is what will give him that closeness to Allah Ta'ala. To this extent, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, you see, Allah Ta'ala has given us these eyes. But together with that, you know, just as we say, you know, when we get vehicles and you get the manuals as to how to use the vehicle. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this vehicle, this body. But we also have got instructions as to how to use this body. You can't just use it anyhow. Allah Ta'ala has given us the gaze. You can't just use it. There's places you, or there's things that you'll be able to see, or that you have permission to see, or that you should see, and other things you don't have permission to see. So this is the hukum of Allah Ta'ala, and that is where the test is. So now Allah Ta'ala has given you this, that listen, certain places or certain things, see, parents, look at them with love, the Ka'batullah, the Qur'an-e-Majid, the beautiful scenery, everything, look, by all means, and you will get sawab for looking at your parents and everything. But certain things do not look, and that amongst those are those things that are haram. Now the person is confronted with this, and what he is doing now, suddenly there's a beautiful face that comes in front. He immediately puts his gaze down. What he does, he's putting his gaze down. Now see how it becomes fuel for taqwa. What does Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Now look at the beauty of our deen, you know. It is not something that, you know, is superficial or something. So practical, and we, especially in our, you know, sometimes you sit and think, you know, in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the best of eras. Women folk, firstly, they made amal on the highest level and highest degree of parda, and that is they remained within their homes. They didn't venture out of their homes. So this type of environment that we have today, I mean, it couldn't even have been thought of at that time. But see what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it is not apt for our time, then tell me when else is it going to be apt for? Because at that time, okay, we know the environment that was. It was a khairul qurun, the best of time, the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, look at our time when we see the nudity, when we see all these things. And now look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ma min ri'im muslimin," that there isn't any Muslim, any believer in Allah Ta'ala, "yanzuru ila mahasin imra'atin," and that he is attracted by the beauty of a woman, of a haram woman. The beauty attracts him. "Yanzuru ila mahasin imra'atin," he sees the beauty in a woman, and immediately thereafter what he does, "thumma yaghuddu basarah," just by chance his gaze had to fall onto a woman. His gaze had to fall onto a woman that is haram for him to see. And immediately thereafter, what he does, ثُمَّ يَغُضُّ بَصَرَهُ, immediately thereafter, he lowers his gaze. Now, what is going to be the result? What is going to be the reward? ثُمَّ يَغُضُّ بَصَرَهُ إِلَّا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ عِبَادَةً يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهَا. In place of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him tawfiq of such type of ibadat, the sweetness of which he will experience. We make ibadat, we experience sweetness. But this, the reward will be that Allah ta'ala will give him, will allow him to taste the sweetness in his ibadat. What a reward! What's this taqwa? The person is going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now those mashayikh, my shaykh Mawlana Yunus rahmatullah, he used to mention that some of them, they say when they, you know, excess of zikrullah, they go to that extent, they said that when they, and I, it is my opinion that this must be Hazrat Abdullah's condition itself, that he used to say that they make zikr, and when they make zikr, then the saliva in the mouth goes sweet. You can actually feel the saliva in the mouth going sweet because of zikrullah. Now this, after that type of mujahada and everything, when they reach that stage, that is what Allah Ta'ala blesses them. Now here a person like myself, I'm a gunyagar, hatakar, everything. Now you're just making one, this thing, a little mujahada, you're just lowering the gaze, and here Allah Ta'ala is blessing you with that. That you get, you're going to be experiencing that sweetness, and that is what we say, we are making ibadah, but we're not getting that. You know, I'm just making ibadah like that. We're not getting, there's no concentration, there's no khushu, there's no khudu in my namaz, in my salah. I'm just making ibadah, I'm just going up and down. I'm not getting any feeling. These are the things, as weak as we are, to make amal on this, and this is, it's not my promise, it is not your promise, whose promise it is? It is the promise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do we not have yaqeen in the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words are whose words? وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't inform on his own. He informs us that which Allah Ta'ala has informed. Why can't we have that yaqeen? Now, when we are confronted with this, maybe in our workplace, we are confronted with this type of a thing. Now, at that time, if we did this, and keeping this promise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and see what happens. How easy then it becomes for the person to lower his gaze. A person is at the airport, or a person is at the taxi rank, or a person is in the supermarket, wherever he may be. He may be at the filling station, and he's at the filling station, and the attendant is a woman. What is he going to do? Is he going to drive off from there? He needs to fill petrol. A person is at the airport and is boarding the flight, and there's a woman that is there that is collecting the tickets or checking the boarding passes. So is he going to say, no, no, I'm turning around because there's a woman? He's not going to do that. He has to go through that. Sharia has made it purpose that, listen, you need to go, you'll have to go through that. If, of course, if there is on the one end, I sometimes discuss with our students, that when you're going to a supermarket, or even maybe at the airports, generally what we want to do, we want to find the shorter line, you know, where the queue is shorter. So say, if there are two tellers, one is a woman, and one is a male, one is a female, but the queue at the male's side or his counter is longer, and the one at the female side is shorter, maybe just two or three, and the side maybe five or six. Maybe. And you have an option to either go there or to come. If you are not in that much of a hurry, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and just for pleasing my Rabb, if I went and stood there, where I have to wait 5 minutes more in the longer line, what difference would it make? It'll make a big difference as far as my taqwa is concerned. Because I'm doing this for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. When I'm going into the flight, now there's a male and a female attendant that are checking the boarding passes. And everyone wants to get, at that time, everyone is in hurry, wants to get into the flight quickly. But it doesn't matter. No? I'll wait. I might as well go this side where there is a male. And eventually, we are going to be reaching the same place, inshallah. So what's the difference if you went this side? It's not that the flight is going to leave you. These are simple things. But it is the consciousness. It is the consciousness. But now say, if both sides, if there's the way you are going, if the counters on both sides is female, now what do you do? You've bought something. You need to take it home, and you don't have an option to go anywhere else at that time, and you need to take it and go. Now what you're going to do? You're not going to be looking at the woman in the eye. At that time, lower the gaze at that time, and see, for some reason there was some question that was asked or something, and unconsciously you just raise the gaze. And the moment you did that, you realize, I'm not supposed to be doing this, and you lowered the gaze immediately. Inshallah, that sawab and that reward, and especially if it is a woman who has, and I generally say, we need to be very conscious about these aspects, especially those of us who have, in the employment of our maids, in the employment of our staff, we say that don't employ those that are good looking. We create fitnas for ourselves. We employ maids in our homes. There is no need to employ those young and, good-looking maids, and tell our families this also. And in that, there is khair for us and for them. For us and for our families. Because these are the things that become causes for fitna. And we are the ones that bring this fitna into our homes. We are the ones that bring this fitna into our businesses. Now, why can't we employ male staff? Sometimes the argument or the reason is that it is more costly. If it is more costly, but if it is at the cost of saving your iman, then that cost is no cost. If it is at the cost of saving your chastity and your haya and your modesty, then it is no cost. And remember that Allah, for who you are doing it, if I am doing it just for this, listen, I do not want to get, see, this. There's multiple things in this. One is this, that I am hiring, or generally when these types of tellers are searched for, they look for, there must be someone that is presentable. And this becomes a fitna, not only for the employer, it becomes a fitna for the customers as well. because you're actually using that as a trap. So, see, if someone now deliberately looks at and commits zina of the eyes, who is responsible? Who put this person there in that place? So I'm causing a problem for myself, I'm causing a problem for someone else as well. The other is this, that now if a person at that time decides it doesn't matter, even if it's going to cost me a little more, but I will employ male staff. I will employ male staff. Okay, see if he doesn't win with that. If he doesn't win with that. The second option now is that where you have to employ female staff. Now what do we do? If you've got an option between two, you've got one that is good looking and fair in complexion, and you've got another may not be that fair in complexion, and may not have that type of beauty. So what I will do is we will hire or we will keep and employ that one who is fair in complexion and who has got beauty. Why can't I employ when both are same, when both are able to have got the same qualification, the CVs read the same thing, and in maybe up to in certain matters, maybe that one who does not have that type of beauty or does not have that fair complexion may be better in certain aspects as far as the CV is concerned, what you are reading. But no, just because of this beauty and just because of the fair complexion, I must employ them. Now this is, if it's not opening up doors to fitnas and what else, what are we doing? May Allah Ta'ala give us understanding as far as, and the same is applicable to the maids that we employ that come into our homes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and not create fitnas for ourselves. Don't create fitnas for ourselves. Then you find that when these things happen, when they come into the homes, and if they are good looking and sometimes they are young and whatever else, when the fitnas happen after that, then it's too late, then we begin crying. The same happens when sometimes we have to keep secretaries in our businesses. What type of secretaries are we keeping? And sometimes it is said that the secretary is in an office and everything, that nobody has got access to that office besides yourself. And that office is at the rear end of the shop. Now, wherever there's two, shaitan is the third. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from these types of fitnas and from these types of tests. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are the things when a person starts contemplating on these things, putting brakes on these things, these are those things that will become fuel for taqwa. It will make this person go up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with taqwa. Inshallah, we will have zikr for a little while and then we'll make dua, inshallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. دل کو اگر چمکانا ہو تو کر لو ذکر اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah illallahu illallah اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے اللہ جل جلالہ وتعالی شانہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ اللہ Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allah Allah, İnce şirin astına, Şiro şakkar mişavad canım tamam. Allah Celle Celaluhu ve Teala şanuhu. Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah Allah الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا القوة المتين يا رحم الراحمين يا كريم الله يا رحيم الله او موسى لبي الله او موسى لبي الله او موسى لبي الله او موسى كيري الله او موسى كبشرت الله او موسى كبشرت الله والله يهيري يوبزبي O my Kareem Allah, you are seeing these dirty, filthy, begging bowls raised before you this part of this Mubarak night. O my Kareem Allah, O my most tolerant Allah, O my most forgiving Allah, O my most forgiving Allah, O my most forgiving Allah, O my most tolerant Allah, O my most merciful Allah. Oh, my most forgiving Allah. Oh, my most beautiful Allah. Ya Kareem Allah. You have attached these begging bowls to our heads, Ya Allah. You have attached these begging bowls to our bodies so that they may be raised before you any part of the day or night. Ya Kareem Allah, we acknowledge, Ya Allah, that these begging bowls are dirty, they are filthy. Ya Allah, our bodies are dirty and filthy. Ya Allah, our hearts and minds are napak and filthy and impure. But oh, my Kareem, Allah, you love those sinners that turn to you and seek your forgiveness. Ya Kareem, Allah, we are the worst of your creation. Ya Allah, we are the weakest of your creation. Ya Allah, we are the greatest of sinners. Ya Kareem, Allah, we acknowledge every sin and every crime. In every disobedience, Ya Allah, there is nothing that we are justifying. Ya Allah, we acknowledge every sin and every crime and every guna of ours. Ya Kareem, Allah, we acknowledge that we are dirty. Ya Allah, we acknowledge that we are filthy. We acknowledge that we are impure. We acknowledge that we are tapas. Oh, Ya Kareem, Allah, we acknowledge that we have broken your commands. Ya Allah, we acknowledge that we have gone against your commands. Ya Allah, we acknowledge that we have used your given diamonds to displease you. Ya Allah, we are the weakest of the weak. Ya Kareem, Allah, hum gunahgar hai, hum khatakar hai, hum badkar hai, hum siyahkar hai, sab kuch hai, bande magar tere hai. Ya Allah, we are everything, but we are your servants. Ya Kareem, Allah, tujhe chhod kar ke hum bande jaye kaha. Oh, my Kareem, Allah, where do we go to? Ya Allah, these are those Mubarak times. Ya Allah, these are those Mubarak hours. Ya Allah, these are those Mubarak seconds. These are those Mubarak minutes, oh my Kareem Allah, in which you will forgive us, oh my Kareem Allah. It is a time for forgiveness, oh my Kareem Allah. Your pure and Mubarak name has been taken, oh my Kareem Allah, after performing Salah, after reciting the Quran Majeed, after Zikrullah, oh my Kareem Allah. These dirty, filthy, begging bones are raised before you. Ya Allah, we know we are not worthy of any rewards from you. Ya Allah, our amal are not worthy of presentation in your court. Ya Allah, no matter how weak we are, Ya Allah, no matter how defective our amal are, Ya Allah, no matter how defective our amal are, oh my Kareem Allah, you are pure, Ya Allah, you are pure, Ya Allah, you give even on these broken amal, oh my Kareem Allah, these broken amal are presented in your court, Ya Allah, these defective amal are presented in your court, Ya Allah, don't look at our amal, Ya Allah, don't look at our amal, look at your mercy, oh my Kareem Allah, look at whose ummatis we are. Ya Allah, we are the ummatis of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, do not deprive us. Do not deprive my friends that are seated here. Oh my Kareem Allah, who are seated here just for your Muhammad, who have come here just to seek your Muhammad. Oh my Kareem Allah, you have assembled them here. Oh my Kareem Allah, do not reject any one of us. Oh my Kareem Allah, let each and every one of us be forgiven. Ya Allah, make this night. Ya Allah, make the decision of forgiveness for us on this Mubarak night. Ya Allah, make the decision of forgiveness for our parents, our family members, our children, our, Ya Allah, our dear and dear ones, Ya Allah, our friends, those that have requested us to make dua for them, Ya Allah, those that have made ihsan and have heavenly favors upon us, Ya Allah, the entire ummah of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make decision of forgiveness for those that are living, make decision of forgiveness for those that have passed on from this world, Ya Allah, especially those that are caught up with the azab of the qabr, Ya Allah, those that are caught up in the azab of the qabr, Ya Allah, those that are caught up in the azab of the qabr, Ya Kareem Allah, creation mercy, make decision of forgiveness for them, Ya Allah, let the azab of the qabr be taken away, Ya Allah, you give them your total forgiveness, you become happy and pleased with them, Ya Kareem Allah, there is no one to ask you, there is no one to question you if you forgive them, Ya Kareem Allah, they are in need of the du'as, Ya Allah, they are in need of your forgiveness as well, Ya Kareem Allah, you forgive those that are living, forgive those that have passed on from this world, those of amongst us that have lost one or both of our parents, Ya Kareem Allah, fill their qabars with noor, fill their qabars with noor, grant them the highest of ranks in the akhirah, Ya Kareem Allah, grant them the highest of ranks in the akhirah, make us a means of sadaqah and jariyah for them, Ya Kareem Allah, whatever has been decided, whatever tawfiq you do to engage in good amal, Ya Allah, let the thawab of that reach our parents, Ya Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, forgive our pains and minus trespasses. Forgive those sins that we have committed during the brightness of the day. Forgive those sins that we have committed during the darkness of the night. Forgive those sins that we have committed behind drawn curtains, thinking that no one was observing. Oh my Kareem Allah, when we committed crime behind drawn curtains and in the dark, oh my Kareem Allah, we thought, Ya Allah, everyone to have sight, and we thought you to be blind, my Kareem Allah. Ya Allah, we forgot at that time that you were observing us, you were watching us. Ya Allah, you know everything that we have did. Nothing is hidden from you. Ya Kareem Allah, our shamelessness, oh my Kareem Allah. We cry you for our shamelessness, oh my Kareem Allah. We openly committed gunas. Ya Allah, we secretly committed gunas. Ya Allah, but you are aware of everything. For you, there is nothing that is secret. Everything is open before you, oh my Kareem Allah, to the extent that the thoughts that run through our minds and hearts, that also are open to you. Ya Allah, you know what is in our minds and hearts. Ya Kareem Allah, we are weak. Ya Allah, we are weak. Ya Allah, we are weak. We need of your forgiveness. Ya Allah, we need of your mercy. Ya Allah, we are in need of your forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive us. Make us amongst those that are forgiven. Ya Kareem Allah, change the condition of our dead hearts. Bring our hearts back to life. Ya Allah, give us those hearts that you bless our eyes and the clean with. Ya Allah, make us that fish that slips deep down in your ocean of Marifat. Ya Kareem Allah, give us a connection with you. Give us a bond with you, my Kareem Allah. Draw us towards you with your power of just, my Kareem Allah. We are just too weak, oh my Kareem Allah. We cannot make mujahada. Ya Allah, we try and we fail. We try and we fail. We try and we fail. Oh my Kareem Allah, if it is not for your assistance, then there is nothing but destruction for us. Ya Kareem Allah, on this Mubarak time, we seek of you your assistance. Ya Allah, you draw us towards you. Ya Allah, you give us tawfiq. You give us hidayat. Ya Kareem Allah, give us piety and give us taqwa. Ya Allah, hamari mukammal islah farma de. Ya Allah, make our complete islah and reformation. Ya Kareem Allah, cleanse and purify our hearts of all the evil that we have in our hearts, the animosity that we have in our hearts, the hatred that we have in our hearts, the jealousy that we have in the hearts. Ya Allah, the humbe jah and humbe ba that we have in our hearts, the love of this dunya that we have in our hearts, the love, Ya Allah, of all the things of this dunya that we have in our hearts. Oh my Kareem Allah, the love for position and the love for wealth that we have in our hearts. Ya Allah, remove these evils from our hearts. Remove these evils from our hearts. Oh my Kareem Allah, the pride and the arrogance that we have. The pride and the arrogance that we have. Ya Allah, remove these evil traits from our hearts. Ya Allah, fill our heart with sabr. Fill our heart with shukr. Fill our heart with your recognition. Fill our heart with your marifat. Fill our heart with your muhabbat and with your ishq and with your love. Oh my Kareem Allah, fill our heart with the ishq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, fill our heart with the muhabbat of the Quran Majeed. Ya Allah, fill our heart with the muhabbat. Ya Allah, for your pious servants, oh my Kareem Allah, through infinite grace and mercy, give us those hearts that you blessed the awliya siddiqeen with. Oh my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, change the condition of the ummah. Oh my Kareem Allah, the plight of the ummah, the suffering of the ummah today. Oh my Kareem Allah, there is no one to pass a hand of shafqat over the heads of the ummah today. Ya Allah, they are being kicked from pillar to post. Ya Allah, Muslim children are being slaughtered. Oh my Kareem Allah, the izzat and the chastity of our mothers and sisters have been taken away. Oh my Kareem Allah, who is there for them? Who is going to assist them? Oh my Kareem Allah, there is no one for them besides you. Ya Allah, it is the month of Ramadan. It is the month of mercy. It is the month of mercy, my Kareem Allah. Send down your rains of rahmat. Send down the rains of mercy. Oh my Kareem Allah, we acknowledge we are weak. Ya Allah, we acknowledge we are sinners. Ya Allah, but do not look at our weakness. Do not look at our weakness. Do not look at our sins. Ya Allah, look at the fact. Ya Allah, that you are the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant hidayat to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know and we acknowledge that this
these halat and quotations are because of our actions. But oh my Kareem Allah, you give us a tawfiq to change our actions. Ya Allah, for that also we are dependent on you. Ya Allah, you give us hidayat, you give us tawfiq, you give us strength, oh my Kareem Allah, to turn to you in obedience, oh my Kareem Allah, to fulfill your commands, to fulfill the commands that are found in the Quran and Majeed, to implement the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, save us from all types of calamities, save us from all types of fitnas. Ya Allah, protect us. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Ya Allah, protect our wealth. Ya Allah, protect our izzat. Protect our chastity. Oh my Kareem Allah, protect our women folk. Oh my Kareem Allah, those of us that are seated here and we have our families at home. Ya Allah, just as you bless us, Ya Allah, bless them as well. Ya Allah, we don't deprive them of the khair and the barakat. Ya Allah, they have been a means for us being here. Ya Allah, they are supportive of us being here. Ya Allah, my Kareem Allah, it is because of obedience to your command, Ya Allah, that they are sitting within their home, they are sitting within the confines of the home. Ya Kareem Allah, do not deprive them. Ya Allah, just as you bless us, Ya Allah, bless them. Ya Allah, let them be participants in this. Ya Allah, let them be, Ya Allah, participants in the rewards as well that come from your side. Ya Allah, give our families jazaya khair and the best of rewards. Ya Allah, they take care of us, they take care of the chastity, they take care of our children, they take care of our homes, they take care of our wealth. Ya Allah, they worry about us when we become sick. Oh my Kareem Allah, give us a heart to be kind and gentle to our families. Ya Allah, give us a heart to be kind and gentle to our families. Ya Allah, give us a heart to be compassionate towards our families. Ya Allah, you give us a heart to seek forgiveness of our families. If we have done them anything wrong, if we have made children of them, Ya Allah, you give us a tawfiq to go and seek forgiveness of them. Ya Kareem Allah, give us a tawfiq to appreciate the samadat that you have given us. Ya Allah, our families are your choice for us. It is not something that we want. Ya Allah, it is your choice for us. Ya Allah, let us respect your choice. Ya Allah, we haven't appreciated this choice of yours. Ya Allah, we haven't appreciated the families that you have given us. Ya Allah, the chastity that they, Ya Allah, that they have. Ya Allah, the sharaf and the haya they have. Ya Allah, they do not venture out of their home. Ya Allah, in obedience to your command. Ya Allah, they agree and they accept whatever they are told. Oh my Kareem Allah, when they are told about the commands of Allah Ta'ala, that your place is a home, Ya Allah, they accept that. Ya Allah, you bless them with the best of rewards. Ya Allah, you make them happy. Ya Allah, you grant them long life with afiyat and salamati. Ya Allah, you grant us muhabbat within our homes. Ya Allah, bring nur in our homes. Ya Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, remove the obstacles, remove the problems. Oh my Kareem Allah, remove the difficulties. Ya Allah, those that are sick, bless them. Ushifaya kamil hajr musafir. Ya Allah, those that are sick, bless them. Ushifaya kamil hajr. Ya Allah, those that are sick, bless them. Ya Allah, those that are experiencing difficulties. Ya Allah, those that are experiencing pain. Ya Allah, remove the pain. Ya Allah, you are the remover of all difficulties. Ya Allah, sickness comes from you. Ya Allah, sickness comes from you. Shifa also comes from you. Ya Allah, no doubt, sickness is a ni'mat from your side. Ya Allah, but we are just too weak. Ya Allah, change the ni'mat of sickness to the ni'mat of good health. Ya Allah, bless us all with good health. Ya Allah, bless us with long life, with afiyat and salamati. Ya Allah, give us a life of obedience to you. Ya Allah, give us a life of obedience to you. Ya Allah, give us a life of obedience to you. Ya Allah, that part of our life that has gone is gone. Ya Allah, that part of our life that has gone is gone. Oh my Kareem Allah, no wealth of this world will be able to bring the life that has gone back. Ya Allah, whatever is left of our life, Ya Allah, the few days, the few hours, the few minutes that are left, Ya Kareem Allah, let it be a life of obedience to you. Ya Allah, let it be a life, Ya Allah, where you and your Habib walks become happy with us. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to engage in good amal. Ya Allah, give us respect for our parents. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to make khidmat of our parents. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to spend on them. Oh my Kareem Allah, create in the hearts of our parents muhabbat for us. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of the ummah of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove our differences. Remove the hatred. Remove the animosity. Remove the jealousy from our heart. Ya Allah, bless us all with halal rizq. Ya Allah, bless us with halal rizq. Ya Allah, bless us with halal rizq. Ya Allah, grant us a blessing this world. Grant us a blessing the akhirah. Ya Allah, bless us with all that khair that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has picked of you. And grant us protection from all the evil that Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought protection from. Illa Allahu wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina wa nabiyyina maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. برحمتك يا رب.